Cindy Raycott, would you like to lead us in a little grounding? You know, like for about 5 minutes?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
All right, take a moment and make yourself comfortable in your chair. Let your breath deepen. Bring your attention inward. Feel your feet on the floor, on the chair, and your feet on the floor. Let your seat sink and widen. Relax. Let the tension from your jaw and your shoulders drop down. Start to feel the activation of your legs and your feet. Bring your awareness down to your calves. Check to see if one is higher or lower, if one is more dense than the other, and let them equal out. Good, and soften. You'll feel the awakening at the bottom of your feet. So let that come alive even more. We'll start to feel our axis form. And let a little bit of tension around your tailbone unwind. Beautiful. We'll let any heaviness, any tension, just flow into that axis and flow down into Mother Earth, through our feet and through the roots of our feet. And just release all that tension from the day. And our axis will start to come in firmer, more firmly. As each one of us are activated. Beautiful. Thank you.
Okay, good. Thank you. I am going to mute for 1 second because I need to turn off a light that's shining in my eyes other than my inner light. Hold on. Just so you don't hear me. Okay, I'm back. Did you hear me? Did I get muted?
You were muted.
Okay, good. I don't know what's muted and unmuted at all anymore.
Okay. I did not hear anything say that you were muted. Did you hear?
I didn't do it on the regular okay. Mute. There's a special mute for the host of the session. So I did that.
Okay.
One.
Okay.
Okay. So how many practice sessions did each of you get in this month?
I had a lot of phone calls, but I got in 4 sessions.
Okay, Andrea, 4. Cindy S.
I'm 3 out of 6. I still have 3 to do.
Okay. Cindy.
And they're scheduled.
Okay, R.
I did 5, and I intend to do some more. They're just not scheduled yet.
Okay. And Scott?
I completed 5.
Okay. So you'll do 5 more this month, too. Can you see the value in that?
Yes.
Very much.
This is the only way you'll develop your unique way of doing a session. And you, can't you feel that you're starting to find out about your sessions now and how you would do a session?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. So why don't we start with Scott? Do you want to present a session? I would say spend, you know, about 5 minutes at the most describing the session and then what the issues are and what kind of feedback I could provide. Okay?
Okay. Yeah. And I was going to choose like probably the most difficult one, like mm-hmm. you mentioned.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So last Tuesday I sat with a gentleman who's been coming to my Sunday meditations regularly, but I had never sat with him one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And then the first thing, just in the, even in the initial conversation, it was pretty clear that, you know, he was pretty much out of his body. But there was a very strong, like he was being kind and considerate for saying yes. I don't know that he would have ever wanted to do it one-on-one just out of the blue, out of his own accord. So I think he was being considerate to me because I had asked him. Mm-hmm. But it was pretty evident that he was not very open to begin with. There was a very strong, I'm a rebel, I don't want to listen to anybody kind of vibe. And as I was just, as we're just sitting doing our initial grounding, it felt very clear that his mother must have been very domineering. And he did not want to listen to a one-on-one to a person. So what I was starting just the initial gentle guidance, I was just kind of reassuring him that, you know, he's not listening to me and I'm not telling him what to do. But to tune in with his body, to let himself come back in, and feel it, you know, every cell of his body to take ownership, come back down. It's safe and it's his space. It took a while though. Longer than I thought for someone who had been meditating in like at the yoga studio. The message I was kind of hearing though was just to take my time, not apply any force or expectations, and be calm and gentle. And eventually, just slowly but surely, he came into his being. I felt less of that mother energy taking up the space in him, and his body was able to relax. But I honestly, there were times where I was like, oh my God, like, is this session going to go anywhere? And I just had to, turn it over and just say, well, it's going to go where it's going to go. And I just had to make sure that I was letting my body stay at ease, even throughout all of his tension. At the end of the session, he did report feeling a lot calmer. He's a hard working worker. He's like a laborer. So his body felt relaxed. He mentioned seeing changes in color from like, I think he said blue to magenta. And then he saw some overlapping circles in his energy field. So he was able to, you know, to pick up a little bit on that type of energy within his being. And that was another piece was just like wanting to hear from him and how he experienced it and valuing him and his feedback. So just kind of pull out his voice and just like, hey, you know, however you experience it, just please tell me. And I mean, it's just a very valid, beautiful, beautiful thing. He was appreciative. I think by the end of the session, I mean, there wasn't any resistance. And he was calm, but it was challenging for me. And just this, it was just like, a little unnerving to go into a session with like somebody who is more or less like fighting any guidance.
Okay. Did you set a goal or any kind of outcome for the session?
Yeah, when we were initially talking, I was explaining to him, I was trying to get that. I asked him, he didn't really have anything forthcoming. So I was just like, yeah, I was explaining to him that, you know, then maybe we can do a little bit of grounding and then return to maybe having a goal for the session or, but it was just not hugely forthcoming. Because when I circled back like 20 minutes later, say, and asked him again, okay, and he was actually silent.
Good experience.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, good in one sense, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, it's good experience for you to experience this. Okay, so this is a real example of someone who wasn't really seeking out a session.
Yes.
Okay, and it's a good example of what happens when someone really doesn't, you know, have a purpose for having a session. Mm-hmm. And you can get calls and appointments from people who think they want something but won't really engage in the session. Mm-hmm. And they're really, really tough. Which is one of the reasons I actually have people call me instead of me calling them. A lot of people who do these sessions over the phone call the people because it's a voluntary act of engaging in the session symbolically. But when you get someone like this, it's you end up doing all the work. Right? You were working really hard.
That's what I had to stop from doing. I was like, God, I need to not be working hard here.
Right.
You pull way back and just take it easy. But yeah, it felt like it was harder work than any other session I'd ever done.
Good for you that you noticed that and pulled back. Really, really good. And you left it open about how to proceed without getting crazy, you know, and anxious about it. So this is probably one of the toughest kinds of sessions. You know, I get people who have a great session and they say, oh, I want my husband to have a session with you. And then they set up a session for their husband, right? Who not even interested at all, but they're doing it because their spouse said they should do it and they paid for it. And then you're stuck with this person. At the very beginning, when I was doing this for years, I had a phone conversation with every person that wanted to set up an appointment because I was gauging their level of engagement. And I did that for several years because I wanted to sort out the people who truly matched my frequency for an appointment, for a session. And if I noticed that they didn't, I would find out what they really wanted and refer them out to the type of person that would be best for them. But I would end up spending like 15 minutes with every person who made an appointment, which was a lot of work and a lot of time. But I didn't know how to do it any other way. And I had to build up the frequency of my work and my style. But I wasn't willing to take on those kinds of people. So you can set up your own inner criteria. So I always said that I wanted to attract people to my sessions, clients that were engaged in their own healing and where there was mutual benefit for us getting together. I always said, if you want to come and lie on a table, like you're getting a massage or some kind of treatment, I'm not the person for you. And so in your own mind, you can set the criteria for who you want to attract. And now you know who you don't want to attract.
Yes.
Really, it's good that you had this early on, Scott.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And one other thing, I want to address what you your comment was on the class page about okay. looking for permission to only immerse in the guides and masters.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see what I wrote?
Yes.
And so yes. Where are you at with that?
Thank you for answering and replying in that manner. That's kind of like, I knew like part of me was still like peeking outward saying, oh, do I have permission to do this? Because it felt very strongly to me that when I'm working, that I'm working with Source, with the higher beings. And there was just a little piece of me that was like, is this okay? Is this how you conduct business in 3D? Like how, if my client is Source, that's kind of how I'm feeling. Like my client is Source, is this beautiful relationship. And I'm not necessarily targeting personalities. I just was looking for an affirmation. I was like, yeah, that sounds right. I'm not hooking individuals. I'm working with Source in my sessions.
Okay, so what's the difference between channeling and having a session where you interact with your client?
Well, for me, like for that session that I just described, when I was working, I was interacting, trying to like figure out a way for things to go smoothly. But when I had a different session, and I felt like I was like really channeling, and then their higher being was talking to me directly. I mean, that was just beautiful and effortless and just like everything I would want in a session.
What was that like?
That was as clear as day, hearing their voice talking to me. I'm completely centered and grounded. I'm hearing what they need, what you know, the message that is coming through me back to them. It was just like there was no interference, and it felt wonderful. I was like, oh, this is it. Like, this is how I think I am to operate.
And did they relate to what you were saying?
110%.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. It was beautiful.
Okay. Okay, good. Okay, so you had the good, the bad, the ugly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay, so you're good. I love that each one of you is figuring your own way of having a session, your own unique way. The only way you're going to do it is by having these practice sessions. Okay, so let's see. Why don't we go to Cindy Chicken Dance next?
Okay, I would say the session that I'm going to discuss is similar in the struggle. What I did in setting up the sessions was I specifically went to people who feel that they're empathic or that they are empath, and discussed how the session was about being an empath, and that prior to the session, if they could sit for about, 15, 20 minutes and just sit and relax and get quiet and settled in. And prior to their session, between the time we spoke and we sat down, I asked them to think about what they might like to accomplish in the session, what their goal would be, what they would like to accomplish. So the woman I sat with was, she's an acquaintance. I don't know her all that well. And I've seen that she has described herself as an empath. That's why I went to her. And when we started the session, what I do at the beginning of the session is I focus strictly on empathic nature. I ask them about their experience as an empath. And so we discussed that a little bit. And what I found from her is she's very, very psychic. She has, prophetic dreams. And so she was kind of getting empathic nature and psychic nature kind of combined, which was fine. And the other thing that I knew about her going into the session, which made me a little, I'm wondering how this will go, is that I knew that she was a devout Christian. And so I was very careful in, before we went into the meditation itself and describe, asking her if she's ever done a guided meditation before, she had not, and describing to her how I was going to go about the guided meditation. And she was going to hear me say things about, connecting to the spirit of the land and Mother Earth and, that type of thing. So those things weren't, didn't become an issue. Only because I grew up with people that were very, very devout, and astrology was from the devil, and all this other stuff was from the devil. So that kind of memory was like, I had to be cautious about that. So we went into the, started the grounding, and it was beautiful. The light was beautiful. And I knew this because I had seen her at a party a year before, and her husband literally lit up the room. The place was very dark, so I knew she carried light with her. And so we were sitting, it was beautiful, and the phone cut out. And, so then it was kind of like a little bit of struggle to get back. I think it might have been my headphones that cut out. I'm not really quite sure what happened there. So I didn't know how much time we had spent together. So, normally I kind of time the session by an hour. I tell them I'll be there 45 minutes to an hour, blah, blah, blah. So we got back online, and then it was kind of like it turned into, we did have discussion over how she felt as an empath. She did feel like there was stuff coming at her all the time. And so when those kind of issues come up, one of your teachings will pop in with the close the third chakra off type exercise. With her, though, it was more like picturing the membrane and creating the circle around, when we talked about the toroidal field. And I've got to be honest with you, I found myself doing a lot of talking, which made me wonder if I was getting a little nervous about, was there resistance coming at me with this information I was giving out, which is all new and didn't jive with her belief system. I'm not real sure. And so I felt like I was just doing a lot of talking after that. I did ask her what the goal for the session was, and she is very interested at this point in her life in creating her own ministry, and was at time, was, was this the appropriate time for her to continue, start a ministry? Well, we all know, of course it is, but it was a matter of how did she want to create that ministry, which we talked about a little bit.
Why did you say, of course?
Because it's such a beautiful, yeah, I know. Believe me, I think about that now. I should have said, what is it? I was thinking I should have asked her, how does she see that ministry, which is what I wish I would have asked. But like I said, I felt like I was getting a little nervous and getting a little yappy instead of pulling back and asking questions.
Let's pause there, okay?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because this is a really good illustration of something that happens when someone is sucking your energy.
Oh.
It's the same thing as when Scott was working so hard. When you find yourself filling up the space, and I could see you were kind of leaning into her. You know what I mean? She was unconsciously pulling on you. This is really, really subtle. But good that you noticed that you were getting jabbery, because now when you see it in the future, it'll be a red flag. And it means come back. And can you see it? Can you feel how your energy was drawn into her right now as we're talking about it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you exhausted after that?
You get a little nervous. You get a nervous feeling comes over, like, okay.
I just want you to notice it so that you'll note it in the future.
Right.
Okay. And for Scott and you, there's nothing wrong with going silent as an option. If there's a lot of resistance or you feel someone like you're trying to fill up the space, they're pulling on you, a really good option is to go silent and reground yourself. And you can even say to them, you know, I'm going to take a moment and reground myself. Why don't you ground yourself or settle in a little better? When you feel that either resistance or nervousness or it looked like your client, Cindy, was just a little, didn't know what to do. Her natural energy pattern is to suck in everyone else's energy. And Scott, your guy's natural energy pattern is to shut off everyone else's energy.
Yeah.
And so if you're met with a wall or you're met with being drawn in, either way, you're going to end up using too much energy. Were you tired at the end of this one, Cindy?
I got sick that night.
Ah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's when I told you I was beating myself up after the session. So, I mean, I was criticizing myself. I'll never get this, blah, blah, blah. You know, went on, and that was the night I became ill. Yeah.
So as I'm looking at, when you guys are talking about the session, I'm watching the energy from the session. And boy,
I know you are.
I'm just glad. Sucked it all out of you. So one of your signals is when you start talking too much. It's the same with me. I know if I lean forward, that's my signal. Mm-hmm. That's my, or if I want to cross my legs, those are my two physical signals, or lift my legs off the ground. And for you, you'll know one of them is you're going to start jabbering, and you just stop that like right away now, because you know that's one of your signals.
Yep.
Okay, now
I know exactly what it feels like too.
Okay, good. This is all the stuff you have to go through to figure this out. She's very psychic. So did you pick up the heavy energy from her goopy psychic stuff?
You know, not until after the session, where I started to figure out that something wasn't quite right, but I couldn't put my finger in it. I didn't know what it was. It was there, but I just couldn't figure that out. But I felt that.
Because when I look at her field, it's just like one of those gloppy, glycerin-like fields filled with that stuff. And that would really be hard on you if it didn't get cleared before you started. Any time someone tells you they're really psychic, that's something you should
be. She didn't. Yeah, she did not. What I said was that she, as she was describing her empathic nature, I asked everybody to talk about their empathic nature. What she was describing was more psychic, the prophetic dreams, the things that she knows that somebody's going to do something, that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she didn't describe herself as that. I told her that that's, very psychic.
Right.
Versus empathic.
Okay, good. Then when you do notice that, you really should be looking for a lot of goop in her energy field.
Okay.
In anyone's energy field when you find out that they're very psychic, because usually they don't have cleansing practices to clear all the stuff that they're picking up.
And I never knew that. I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, you work with Marianne, and Marianne's clean. But most people who are untrained psychics don't have practices for cleansing themselves. That's why Lilydale used to be a mess.
Oh, mm-hmm.
It's like slime. Okay, what else? how'd the session end up?
Well, I pretty much closed it.
At what point?
That's the thing. Because everything had turned into a yappy session, uh-huh. I just kind of like, okay, we're done. I mean, there was just like, there's nowhere to go from here. In what I was feeling. And, I just basically ended it. And I like basically saying, I think we're all done here. kind of thing. So
good for you.
That's what it is.
Good. So was she interested in the session?
Yes, she was. She was very much interested in the session. And then I wonder, okay, did she do it as a favor to me? I know one thing that we talked about. Because we were talking about psychicness and, she wasn't asking me how to develop it, but I was talking about there are books, blah, 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 that can give you, ideas on how, to do the psychic type stuff. And it was Cindy Dale's book.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I felt the block, because that was where she went. My work is between me and my God kind of answer I got at that point. And I think it was shortly after that I ended the session.
Did she actually say that?
Yes, she actually said that. And I felt that deep resistance against what I, you know, offering any information to her as far as that.
Okay.
Concerned.
So at that moment, when she said that, I would have been really interested in hearing more about that and affirming her knowing that it was between her and her God.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did respond to her by saying, yes, you need to do what's in your heart.
So, right, but you could have asked her to talk about it.
Yeah, I could have.
But what you did was... Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I wished I would have discussed more her her religious beliefs at the beginning of the session. That's a mistake that I made that I won't make again. We talked more about empathic things at the beginning before I moved in, and I didn't go, knowing that she was this devout Christian, I didn't go into the details of her, you know, religious beliefs, or, you know, discuss her religious beliefs and Christianity and that. I wished I would have done that more at the beginning. That's a lesson I learned from this.
Good.
Then I would have learned a little bit. I would have known a little bit more going in.
So just so you know, one approach when someone says something like that to you, asking them mm-hmm. to describe that opens up a flow that really can turn into a beautiful exchange.
Yeah.
But what happened was you bumped into the resistance and you backed off, mm-hmm. right?
I did.
And so just because you encounter resistance doesn't mean you have to flee, but you can go quiet again and use silence. I mean, really use silence as a space holder to see what you need to do next instead of having something automatically kick in.
Yes, I did flee. Uh-huh. I don't want to flee.
Right.
The next okay. time I won't flee.
Well, you may. Yeah. You may. I mean, I'm using this session and further sessions to help open up and teach about possibilities of what could happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had like a Southern Baptist today. Who mm-hmm. in one sentence she would say, you know, I'm a devout Christian, and the other one, next sentence would be, yeah, and I'm talking to dead people all the time. So am I going to the devil? Right? And
aww, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's those conflicts usually embedded in the heavily Christian devotees that you really want to know about. So yes, your instinct in knowing about this more and their relationship to their religion is important. So that's a good
May
answer.
I ask, how did you handle that? I mean, where did you go with that with her? Because this would be good learning for me.
She's so funny. I let it unfold. The first thing I said to her was, and she also told me that she was talking to dead people and that she also had dreams that gave her inspiration and things like that. And I said to her, how do you think the Bible was written?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't written by someone just thinking something and writing it down. Every single story in the Bible is about some communication beyond this realm. And that made sense to her. It like mm-hmm. opened something up for her. And, you know, we continued kind of back and forth. She was always wondering, is she going to the devil, right? Is she going to hell because these things are mm-hmm. happening? And then she would explain some other things, and I found out that, like, her mother really accepted, even though they were in the same religion, her mother really accepted her experiences. And so I emphasized that, you know, her mom wasn't rejecting her, and that it's possible that this is all in the lineage that I usually see, that when people are very intuitive and expand like this, that usually someone else in the family and the lineage is like that too. So now she's willing to explore this with her mother a little more. And, you know, we kind of eased into these things. We didn't resolve everything, but we certainly opened up possibilities for her, because she's just plagued with being worried about going to hell.
Yeah.
So the conversation, asking them, drawing them out more, is really helpful in these cases. And
you
don't need to have a resolution. Sometimes
that's important to know too.
Sometimes people just want to talk about things. This woman today said, well, I've never said this to anyone else, and it feels so good to mm-hmm. say it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And so mm-hmm. that's all she needed at that point. She didn't need anything from me. She just needed a safe place to say something out loud that she had been, you know, hiding from the world and feeling terrible about.
Yeah.
So very good. These are all good experiences. Mm-hmm. Anything else from that, Cindy, that you want to share?
We did talk about her kids, and I was telling her that I noticed that I thought her oldest may be an empath too. And the reason I say that is her oldest is somewhere along the spectrum. And she had posted a video during the pandemic, when the pandemic first started and the energies in the air was just such intense fear that it was palpable. And her oldest was sitting inside the dog cage with the door closed. Mm-hmm. And we just had a little discussion about that. And I said, I'm wondering if he was sensing what was in the air, you know, and he just didn't know where that was coming from. So we did talk about that a little bit. She thought her middle one was. Well, all of her boys could be. I mean, who knows? They're very talented boys. So that was just one other thing that we talked about, was her kids and the empathic nature of her kids. So.
Great. I'm starting to believe we're all on a spectrum. Some spectrum. good. Okay. So noted that you have to watch out for getting your energy sucked out of you.
Yeah. If it resulted in what happened that night, I mean, I'm still dealing with that one.
Yeah. So that's a mix.
Later,
right.
Yeah.
That's a mix of her psychic stuff and pulling mm-hmm. your energy.
Wow. Okay.
So you cannot forget your feet for 1 second.
And I was so good in all my sessions about checking in. And I just feel like with all that yapping that I did, I just got lost.
Uh-huh.
So that is a real red flag for me to pay attention to.
Good.
That one, so.
Did you have anything before
that? When you get a heart.
Yeah.
Any feeling bad, sick?
Before the session, did you have any indications of what was going to happen? Okay.
No. I had only one with one of my sessions where I actually felt the energy come in about 15 minutes right before the session. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I wasn't getting anything, or else, you know, I wasn't paying attention, you know, okay. or, you know.
So one thing I want to say, and you said something about checking and coming back. You can never leave. You can never leave your feet and seat. It's not about going out and coming back. It's about.
Oh no, I know that.
Oh, okay.
No, I was just checking that I was still in my feet. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I really did feel grounded for.
Wait a minute. No. There's something subtle that you're not getting here.
Okay.
I am saying that you're feeling, you need to be feeling your feet every single second. Not checking to see if you can feel them. If you're not feeling them, you're not there. Come back and feel it now.
Okay.
And this is a big piece for you, Cindy, because you do keep leaving and then coming back and leaving and coming back, but it negates itself. Every time you leave, you just pick up stuff.
Right.
And it's about learning how to talk and be while still having that awareness and sensory experience of being in your body with the energy flowing. So feel how you are now.
Yeah.
So this is practice. This is just practice with this. Okay, Cindy Rakow, can you mute yourself for a second? Because we're getting that loud noise. I want to just see if it's from you.
I'll mute myself.
Yep, it's you. Okay, come back.
All right, I'm going to put on different headsets. I'll be right back.
Okay. Mute us while you do that. Okay, good. Okay. So, Cindy, you're getting what I just said, right? You're feeling it.
Absolutely. Yes, I am. And it's different than I've ever been before. It's kind of like I'm talking with my toes right now.
Yes.
That I'm in my feet while I talk.
Yes.
This is new for me.
Yay.
How about that?
Yay.
I'm talking with my toes. And
that's a beautiful way of saying it.
Okay. Back.
Yes. Yes.
I know. It only took me 23 years to do it, Kara. Come on.
But you got it.
Yeah. I've got it. I do. I have it.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if Cindy's back yet because she's probably on.
I'm back.
Okay. Oh, that's quiet. What happened?
I put on my earbuds.
And are those what made the noise the other night?
No, the headset that I had on at the beginning of our time here is the ones I had on Saturday morning.
Uh-huh.
And I think I need to not use them for this purpose.
Okay. Okay. So now you have like Apple earbuds in?
Yeah, these are the ones I typically use. The other ones are the new ones.
Are they wired or the Bluetooth kind?
The other ones are wired.
And what are you wearing now?
Bluetooth.
Okay. I'm just curious. I am just always wanting more and more technical information because of all the stuff that happens. Okay.
Sure.
So, okay. Any comments on Scott? Any questions or comments on Scott's or Cindy's at this point? Okay. Who wants to go next, Cindy or Andrea?
Doesn't matter, I can go.
Okay.
So the session I actually posted on our site was with a young woman who had experienced quite a bit of physical abuse and sexual abuse when she was younger. Wow. She was very open about it from the beginning. I'm very excited about our session and was looking for a little bit of healing, but mostly wanted to maybe gain some tools on how to deal with her empath tendencies. Mm-hmm. So the biggest thing I was left with, I took such care, and I know I can always be able to improve on this, but I took such care in opening sacred space and leading her through a grounding and creating this temple. And I recognized when we were done that I need to do a better job in closing the circle.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. When you were guiding her in the grounding, was she able to go into her pelvic area, into the belly, into that sensitive area?
Yes. And at the beginning, like before we met, I was very aware of not going there directly. We started at her feet and got some energy running, and then she started releasing in that area. So I guess I answered that too soon. Was she actually in the area? She was definitely releasing from that area, and she could feel it. I could feel it.
Okay.
And that's what I was left after the session. I could still feel it. So I'm concerned that my energy got too entangled with hers or was going to her, or that I just need to be better at closing things and more aware. I know that I don't use the same level of awareness in closing the circles I do in opening it.
Okay, so that's not the issue here. You had a classic therapeutic entanglement. So remember the times I've described how I see therapists working with their clients, where I see that energy arch over from them into their client to hold them stable during the session so that they can reference a new state? Remember how often I've said that?
Well, hearing you talk about it, I know that's what I do in my OT practice.
Yes.
It's really to like keep the squirmy second grader literally in their chair.
Right, right, exactly.
Yeah, so I could totally see what you're saying. I was absolutely doing, because yes, okay.
Yeah.
How do I change that? How do I relearn
you
that?
Don't, yeah. So first of all.
Oh no! I felt really good that I wasn't taking her through the session and having to like play Connect Four and share knock knock jokes to like get the energy work done. Like that felt really good to me. But I see now that there's another level here. Ooh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. This is great. These are really good teaching examples, you guys. You're getting stuff that took me years to figure out. Okay. So the same way that Cindy just learned how to talk with her feet, you have to learn how to stay in your body and not circulate with the client.
So I felt I was in my access and she was in hers. I felt our fields combine, a central axis formed. But I'm still inclined to leave my body, aren't I? Mm-hmm. And go over and fuss. Yeah, I am. Ooh, this is going to be a hard one.
I don't think right. so. I really don't. No, no. You're a quick learner.
All right.
You're a quick learner. You got this right away. And it's, you know, it's how the transference and countertransference happens in a therapeutic situation with a therapist. This is why therapists burn out.
Mm-hmm.
They're sending their energy over to the client to stabilize them, because if you're there seeking therapy, there's something about you squirming, okay? Mm-hmm. And you stabilize them so that they can hear you, they can have a new reference point for what it feels like. But, you know, then they leave the session and the therapist is energy is trailing off after the client. And in the process, the therapist, who knows nothing about really cleansing energy, is circulating all this heavy energy in them without knowing how to cleanse it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you'll play with this. Okay. You're going to figure this out for you, because you have enough skill that, let's say you end up doing this, you do know how to cleanse it. And I'm going to leave it up to you to figure out when you want to do that, when you don't want to do it, and learn about it for yourself.
Oh, I am hearing that there is still a choice. That there are times. I mean, to think about not doing that ever, I would have to completely reinvent my career.
Oh.
And I'm sure that's possible.
Well, let's take it. Wait, what did you say about your career? You'd have to do what with your career?
Reinvent. Sort of my approach.
Uh-huh.
It's what it feels like.
Right. Okay.
I mean, are there times where it's okay? Look, I don't want to give that up, because it's what I know and I know it works.
Right. That's why I want you to figure mm-hmm. this out for yourself.
Okay.
I don't want you to set up something that you're trying to reach or achieve. Unlike Cindy, I want her in her toes all the time. But this, I want you to figure out for yourself and all the nuance of it. Because there really is a difference in your OT practice and working with children and working with adults in this intuitive realm and holding an adult accountable for their own energy and seeing what it does to your energy.
I can see that. It felt part of the excitement I was expressing on the page, which became a little bit ungrounded, was that working with adults in this way in many ways felt easy.
Mm-hmm.
So if I could get even better, like you said, at the nuances of holding my own energy, oh goodness, wow, why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I want that for myself and for the client? Really?
Mm-hmm. So here's another question. Are you doing it with your family?
Oh, I'm sure I am. And I don't need to be. And I could think of a couple reasons why I do it.
And there's gradations on this, okay? From the feminine point of view, you know, you start out with a child in your womb and you are circulating energy with them. Mm-hmm. There's something very natural about that. And then they're born and you cut the cord and they have to rely on their own energy. And that's the whole process of spiritually growing up, which doesn't happen in our culture. Mm-hmm. And so there's still that memory of being pregnant with that child and circulating the energy on a real primal, beautiful soul level. And so there's nuance to this. And there's nuance to the age of each child with how you leave more and more space for them to circulate their own energy. And so by the time they're between 18 and 21, they should be totally free of you circulating energy in them through what I would consider a spiritually developmental process. But there's a lot to know and see about this as a child grows up, and then making sure that you treat a client different than your child or your husband, and a child client versus an adult client. There's a whole lot in there that's exciting for you to learn about.
Mm-hmm. It is exciting. I love hearing you talk about that. For my kids and for my client kids, and it is, and for myself, I felt burnout, and you talking about that, I can completely see how myself and other colleagues get there.
Right.
Okay.
Very good. Comments by anyone else on this? Nothing? Really? That was so juicy.
I can add that at the it feels a little intimidating. Like, a part of me is like, are you sure you just want to, you don't just want to tell me? Like, are you sure you
No, because it's not black and white. And now that you're aware of it, you'll figure it out.
I'll see it. I'll see it in I think every professional interaction, and in my whole life, I'll see it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. What were you going to say, Cindy?
Well, my question is, you know, Cindy's an occupational therapist, but Andrea and I are both nurses.
Uh-huh.
And we have been in therapeutic relationships with patients.
Right.
So are we going to be doing the same thing?
It's very possible.
Right.
But I think nurses tend to have a little better boundary. But each one of you, I would take a look at your husbands and what you're doing with that.
There you go. Oh,
come on. It's too true, you know. I get it. Big time.
I'm just going to keep talking through my toes and hope that.
Okay.
I literally see my toes mouth opening.
That's adorable. Okay. Paint little faces on them and let them talk.
I will.
Doesn't it
feel
different?
I'm going to put little faces on my toenails.
Yeah, doesn't it feel different?
It does.
Yeah. It feels, it, yeah, it does. It, you know, you learn that one thing and finally it just puts things into perspective. And it, that happened tonight with my toes.
Great.
I will never forget that. Never.
Good.
So.
Okay. Okay, Andrea, you're up.
Yay. Well, I don't know. I don't want to be up now after I've heard all this heavy, heavy stuff. The lady I want to talk about was in my yoga class for the longest time, and she was also taking a meditation class at the yoga place we were at, and it was a total different meditation type approach. So we kind of chased each other back and forth on the phone, and then because of her background, she's very educated nun, she was going to, you know, ask me a lot of questions. And it was nice because she was very honest and forthwith about things. And then it was like, so like, what can you possibly show me, right? So I thought, well, then why don't we just see how this goes? And so I just kind of let her lead me for a bit. And then I said, and then we just grounded together and we just started thinking together. And then to be able to talk through it was another new thing. So to be grounded and talking, and then just to have certain, all of a sudden, like certain little flare ups, like, oh, this question just popped into my head. And I'd ask her, so how does that make you feel? And where are your shoulders now? And that kind of thing as we just descended. Mm-hmm. And we got more into a thing of where she was not sleeping at night and how, for being a spiritual person, she was so in her head, you know? So I was like, think about that. Think about where your feet really are and what's really important. Who's the real source here? Who's the real power in the world? And not to mention any names, but she's very politically minded. So we had this really kind of fun give and take, and then it was like, oh, we had a clarity of things, and it was like, oh, I never thought of looking at it like that. And I said, yeah, I said, there must be a reason we got together. And so she was just like totally, you know, happy about that. And I felt good because I thought, who would have known, you know, who would have known we would have had that kind of a session.
So that sounds like it went really nicely and that you were really patient and let it open up. So
yeah, and it was like a whole hour just flew by. I know, I felt so like delighted because it was like, oh, I can do this. You know, I'm, because I wasn't trying to fix her. I was just kind of
right
showing her, here we got this thing that it's really easy. It's right there for us, all of us.
So did you have any sessions that were challenging?
Well, I think I was more challenged, if anything, just to get everybody in a mode of being serious about it. I mean, I was being serious about it, but to really kind of like a lot of education, you know, like younger women and busy, busy career women, and just trying to like kind of get my foot in the door, kind of. And then I had two women very much about grief, and they thought, oh, not going there. I know you're going to start talking. And I said, no, we don't have to talk about that, but oh, no, thanks. But
well, let's talk about one of those with the grief. What happened with that?
Oh, I couldn't even get them on the phone. This one girl, she made one phone call, and then it's like I couldn't reach her again.
Okay. So, oh, so you didn't have a session?
No, I is that one of those blocks I should pursue or just wait until time brings her? Okay.
No.
No, because when she's ready, she'll come or whatever. She'll find somebody.
So I'm just trying to find out, Andrew, if you had a session that had any challenges in it.
I kind of felt okay with even like young career women that were really, really busy and they tried different things but not really gotten serious about it. So I said, well, here I am, you know, 68, and now it's like I'm finally getting serious about it because I knew about it all this time. So
serious
just to
about
kind of,
what?
Well, delving into meditation, being serious about that, you know, and taking the time and making the time.
So you were focusing on helping them to learn how to meditate? Is that what your session
well,
was about?
I had to start somewhere because the empath part wasn't really like a big word for everybody.
Okay.
So some of that I did explaining to, but I didn't make that like the biggest focus.
Okay. Okay. So you basically got your pool of people from the yoga class or the...
I got a couple from Cindy, and they were both like career people.
Okay.
And a couple from my daughter, and a couple from my yoga class.
Okay. So for some reason, I don't feel like I'm getting as much detail about a session that was challenging as I got from the other people here.
I know. I don't know. I don't know what to say.
So there were no, so it wasn't challenging. Is that what you're saying? There were none that were challenging.
It was the more I let go of it, the less of a challenge it was because.
Okay.
I mean, I think that was my lesson to let it go.
Okay. So good. Okay. So there's nothing you need any feedback on.
I don't think so. I kind of feel like it's a dance. It's a, like when I would call people for massage and I'd kind of have to feel them out if they were serious about it and kind of feel out like where their goal was in that. And I think I've had this inherent sense of, you know, is someone really interested and where do they want to go with that? And I think I've kind of let them lead me, which helps, I think.
Okay, and then were you able to stay grounded?
Yeah, I was. I was doing pretty good.
Are you grounded now?
Yeah, I think I am.
Okay, we need to get you more.
My toes
grounded.
Are talking.
Okay. But can you feel how you're reaching out of your body a bit?
Mm-hmm.
Come back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Can it be easy? Are we allowed to let it be easy?
Yes, we are. I just want you to be able to notice when you are grounded and when you're reaching out.
Okay.
And you can feel the difference right now, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
So in your sessions, were you like this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Boy, I've not gotten to enjoy you in your deep grounded state like this, Andrea. It's nice.
Thank you. I agree.
Okay, so excellent learning. So let's do another 5 this month. And then the other thing I would like you to do is write your bio.
But you have our bio.
Not really.
Okay. A better bio.
Well, have your mission statement.
Okay.
Don't have like a bio that you would put on your website.
Okay.
Of your experience, the way you work, your orientation. It doesn't have to be long. but it's a really good practice to write this up as if it's going to be presented on a website or in a, if you were speaking somewhere or presenting, and you needed to have your bio as a coach and spiritual practitioner and your experience. I mean, how much time have you actually, or how much value have you given to how long you've been practicing and studying? So this is kind of gathering up your worthiness and your value together. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Like I said, it could be a paragraph, it could be a page, it could be two pages, whatever you want. You could have several versions of it. I have to have a 75-word version for Sedona Magazine. You know, they ask you for your bio. They'll say, give me a 50-word bio, a 100-word bio. You know, they'll tell you kind of a short, medium, or long bio. But the value of doing this is to really get what you have to offer.
It's like having Regina Brett or you introduce me. You guys are so good on that. I love those two podcasts. Just keep me going.
Oh, nice. Oh my gosh.
Oh, really?
Oh, by the way, did anyone listen to the one today with Megan? Because this one, you
not
need,
yet.
You, okay, so Megan teaches at Baldwin Wallace, and we became friends when I started teaching there. And she's young. She's probably, what, 34 or 35. And she is like a tech wizard. And she has started a podcast and a coaching service for helping people align their message with their deeper purpose. And so our talk is how to market without being phony. And she's very good, and she has like 45 podcasts on how to develop your marketing in an authentic way. So I'm glad you brought that up, Andrea. You really should listen to this one and fun. Then check out her other podcasts. And she's young and she's hip and she's cool, and so a lot of her language is like young people's, you know, like I look at them as young people. But I love her. She's really like walks her truth. I really, really enjoy her. And what she has to say is very valuable to you. To as you're helping putting together how you're going to market yourself.
Okay.
So I just adore her. And what she has to say and how she's gotten to the point where she is right now and the process she went through. She really went through an authentic process. So check that one out and then check out her other things. It'll be a whole lesson on how to market, everything you need to know. Okay. Anything else? am I forgetting? Go ahead. Okay. So you can feel that each one of you is starting to walk your own path. You're starting to develop your own way of working. You need this time of practice to figure this out. And you're all doing great. This is wonderful. So you want to make as many mistakes as possible and bump into as much as possible now, you know, while we have this mentoring group, and and get the feedback on it. Okay?
Thank you, Sarah.
Very welcome.
This is very helpful.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Good. Okay. Well, carry on. And may you learn a lot this month.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night.